Gopi jana ballabha giribhara dhari Gopi jana ballabha giribhara dhari Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chadi Yamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Bhala bha giribhara dhari Gopi jana bhala bha giribhara dhari Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hadi Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hadi Bhala bha giribhara dhari Gopi jana bhala bha giribhara dhari Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nithai Gaur Haribo, 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 Nithai Gaur Haribo. Hare go Hare bo Hare bo Hare bo Nithai go Hare bo Srila Prabhupada ki Sri Sri Gaur Nithai ki Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki, Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish ki, Samvira Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nithai Gaur Pimanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Class is supposed to begin at 6:30, it's already 10 minutes to 7. But the presentation I'd like to make this evening, let's see how long it takes. How many of you present have been to Jagannath Puri? Oh. You've all been to Rath Yatra, where Lord Jagannath presides over the wonderful cart festival. It comes from Jagannath Puri, very ancient festival. And on his way to visit Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited another place that is north of Ramuna. And that's where we're going to visit today, if you'd like to go. Those of you that haven't been to Jagannath, how many here would like to go to Jagannath Puri? Haribo. How many would like to go this evening? Haribo. And the way that we're going to go, we don't have to have a visa and a passport and a ticket. We're going to go by sound vibration. And also some nice visuals. But there is a price you have to pay. Just like even if you bought a ticket and had your passport and visa, if you entered into the Holy Dham with just a ticket, just like Srila Prabhupada writes, you cannot go to Vrindavan just by purchasing a ticket. You can go to Vrindavan with purchasing a ticket, but you cannot enter into the sweetness of Vrindavan without having purified consciousness. So that's your The price that I'm going to ask each of you to pay this evening is to be in a prayerful mood, because the subject matter that we're going to be discussing is very wonderful, filled with very powerful spiritual messages, because it's pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead exchanging loving relation with his pure devotees. So that's something that we all aspire for. And to enter into that and appreciate it deeply, just like if you go to a holy dham, just like Akura when he first entered Vrindavan, he paid his obeisances with great feeling. He fell off the chariot, seeing the footprints of Krishna in Vrindavan, and offered wonderful prayers, and he achieved spiritual perfection just from offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. So we should be in a prayerful mood to appreciate this exchange between Madhavendra Puri and his presiding, or his deity, the deity of Gopinath, and the deity Gopal that he found in Vrindavan. So this is a picture. If we could have these lights out, it would make the image more clear. I'm going to show you in a moment a picture of where Ramuna is, so we have a little sense of geography. This is the temple in Ramuna, just north of Puri. And to give you an idea of how confidential the subject matter is, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who heard and then narrated what he heard from Ishwara Puri, who is describing what took place here with Madhavendra Puri, as he was describing it, he fell into the courtyard before us, unconscious, which certainly says something about the consciousness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mood with which he was narrating and describing. But it also says something about the potency of the subject matter. Here's a map where it shows Jagannath Puri. Just up along the coast is Konark, famous for the Konark Sun Temple. Here's Pipli, famous for the Pipli cloth, just like the so many decorations that we see that are typical of Lord Jagannath. Very bold blue, orange, red, very strong colors. Pipli and Bhubaneswar, the capital of of Orissa. Thank you. Here is along this is a highway map, Route 5. There's Bhadrak, and then a city named Basta. So Ramuna is right along in here. Here's a closer map. Here's Basta. I'm going to go back, so that you get a sense. Here's West Bengal, here's Bihar, here's Madhya Pradesh, here's Andhra Pradesh, and along the Bay of Bengal is where we are. Here's Baleshwar, the subsection, and there's the city itself. And Baleshwar, or Balasore, is on the train line. If you go from to Calcutta or go to Puri on the main train line heading through Bhadrak, there's a train stop, Baleshwar. And about 4 or 5 kilometers northwest is Ramuna. And Ramuna is a very small, rural, quiet, very ancient kind of place. The first time I went there, maybe 20 years ago, it was like going back in a time machine. meaning as we were passing along the little road, my sense was this is the same bullock carts and the same plows and the same fields, and the people come and go, but it's the same thing that people have been doing for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. Civilizations have come and gone, empires have come and gone, world wars have come and gone, and nothing changed here. That's the kind of place it is, Ramuna, just a very remote, quiet village place. But it's very special. The town of Ramuna is very special, not because it's big or commercial. There's a few stores, little marketplace, and the Gopinath Temple. So that's the focus of our visit this evening. The temple itself, they maintain it very nicely. You can see painted very colorfully. And there's a courtyard in front of the temple, a little public area where they have public festivals. The Utsav deities come off the altar and are placed here, and they have public functions. Because the temple room is very tiny, you can fit maybe 20, packed in Indian style, maybe 25 people. Because it's just very small. And then the little altar. And then all around the courtyard, in all directions, are bas-relief sculptures of Krishna Leela. So it's a real Krishna temple. Krishna Bhakti is very, very strong. So starting about 270 degrees in the other direction, Krishna's birth in the prison house of Kamsa, very much like the picture of our four-armed Vasudev Krishna standing and Vasudev and Devaki offering their prayers. Then the next one is Krishna being carried by his father across the river Jamuna in a basket on his head as the storm is going that evening. And then he takes birth, and the birth of Krishna in the house of Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj. And all the childhood Leela, the killing of Putana, Trinavarta, Bakasura is great. Really. Mean-looking duck demon. Agasura, Aristasura, so many asuras. And then Akrura taking Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura. Krishna KOing Kamsa. Pow! Very, on all the Leela and killing of Shishupal, and nice Leelas. And the final Leela is showing the fullness of Krishna's opulences in Dwarka. So in this courtyard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrated this wonderful exchange that took place between his spiritual master's spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, and the deity of Gopinath. And they had ecstatic kirtan here. Not only they had ecstatic kirtan here, but every year, as the devotees from Bengal, they would also narrate the story and have ecstatic kirtan. So the sense of ecstatic kirtan permeates just walking into this plaza or into the courtyard. You feel the spiritual vibrancy and potency of the place. And what to speak of the deity. Now, like many temples in India, they have a rule that you can't take pictures of the deity. This is when the day that we visited. If you make arrangements ahead of time, they have over on the right-hand side, there's a pathway. You can go behind the temple, and they have a little prasad pavilion. And they serve you full prasadam, our whole group of about 150 50 people received Mahaprasad of Radha Gopinath. They're very, very cordial devotees and accustomed to hosting pilgrims. So they don't allow photographs of the deity to be taken, but we somehow got a deity photo. This was special arrangement by Madhavananda Prabhu, very nice disciple of Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who resides in Bhubaneswar. And he has very nice relation with the temple, and he knew which pujari to give how many rupees, and he managed to get a picture. And you can see how they worship the deity very, very opulently. Silver ankle ornaments, silver belt, silver flute, gold chain with a gold medallion, and very, very nice cloth and nice garlands and nice backdrop and very gorgeously served deity. Please note that over on this side of Gopinath's flute, there's another flute. I'll tell you about that in a moment. And over here, there's another flute. So the deity is not just Gopinath, but is Chira Kora Gopinath. Just like Krishna is known, he's famous for stealing butter. What is that name for Krishna? Makhan Chora. For his stealing butter and giving the butter to all the cowherd boys and feeding the monkeys and having a great time and being scolded by the gopis in great joy. So this is a different Chora. This is Shira Chora Gopinath, because he stole Kheer right here in Ramuna. Not just in Vrindavan, but right in Ramuna. Now, in our Toronto temple, we also have Shira Kora Gopinath deities. Jai Gopal, you've seen them? So if you go to visit Toronto sometime, please take darshan of their lordships, Shira Kora Gopinath. Very, very beautiful, nicely worshipped deities also. And here's another picture. Now, if you go to the bookstall and you ask them if they have any pictures of the deities, they'll show you this one. So we bought this one. And this is where the other flutes are. Standing next to Gopinath is Madan Mohan and Govindaji. And as you see over here, here's the Panchatattva picture. Now the deities of Gopinath and Madan Mohan and Govindaji, they were there before Lord Chaitanya came to visit. This is not exactly a Gaudiya Vaishnav temple. It's not cared for by followers of Lord Chaitanya exactly. But there are great lovers of Lord Chaitanya for some very obvious reasons that you'll hear as we go along. So these three deities, Madan Mohan, Govindaji, and Gopinath, have a very significant role in our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition, not only here in Ramuna, but you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita that these three deities, which are the presiding deities in Vrindavan, are the same presiding deities of the three main subjects that are covered in all of the Vedas. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time with you. This is the philosophical portion of our evening together. The first section of knowledge contained in the Vedas is called Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha means relationship. So that portion of the Vedic literature is to teach us about the relationship between God and everything that comes from Him. or the other way around. Everything that exists and its source of emanation. That's Sambandha Gyan. And the deity that presides over Sambandha Gyan is Madan Mohan. And the deities that you see here are the Madan Mohan deities that are presently in the Madan Mohan temple in Vrindavan. The original Madan Mohan deities that were worshipped by Sanatan Goswami were taken from Vrindavan to Jaipur by Jai Singh in order to protect them. And later we're going to see those deities. So that you can see the original deities worshipped by Sanatan Goswami named Madan Mohan. But these are replacement deities. After some time, Pratibhu deities or replacement deities were installed in Vrindavan. And today, when you visit the Madan Mohan temple, this is the deities that you'll see. And in our temples, whenever we have a yajna or some ceremonial function, we recite the Mangalacharana prayers. And one of those prayers is the prayer to Madan Mohan, which we can all recite together because it's printed on the screen here. Jayatam sarato pangor mama manda mater gati matsarvasva padam bhojo radha madanam mohano. The translation is, glory to the all-merciful Sri Radha and Madan Mohan. They are the only shelter of my depraved and crippled self. Their lotus feet are the be-all and end-all of my life. So, following Sambandha is Abhideya. And the presiding, Abhideya means when one acts in one's relationship with the Supreme Lord, those activities are called Abhideya. Knowledge of those activities is Abhideya Tattva. And the presiding deity over Abhideya Tattva is Radha Govinda. And these deities of Radha Govinda that you see pictured here, they're in Vrindavan at Radha Kund. Sometime you'll all visit Vrindavan, hopefully. And when you go to Vrindavan, surely you'll go to Govardhan Hill. And when you go to Govardhan Hill, surely you'll go to Radha Kund. And when you go to Radha Kund, you ask, where's the Govinda deity? And you'll see very tall, beautiful, nicely dressed and ornamented Radha Govinda. The original Radha Govinda were worshipped by Rupa Goswami. And also the Radha Govindaji deities of Rupa Goswami were taken to Jaipur for protection from the invasion of the Pathan soldiers from the north. So here's the prayer that we recite in honor of Govindaji. Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadaha Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Preshtadibhi Sevyamano Smarami. The translation, I meditate on Sri Radha and Govinda. They are seated on a throne in a mansion bedecked with gems under the desire trees of Vrindavan, being served by their loving female attendants. So, this is the second body of knowledge that's contained within the Vedas. And the third category is called Trayojana. That is, when you act within that relationship, when it reaches its mature stage, the fruit of acting in one's relationship with the Supreme Lord, that is called Trayojana. And the knowledge that describes that is Trayojana Tattva, and Radha Gopinath preside over that knowledge. And Archita is here. Can you try to focus this a little bit better? Because looking on my laptop, the picture, the face of Gopinath is very clear and not so clear on the screen here. Maybe it's unavoidable. Okay. Anyway. So when you go to Vrindavan and you visit the Radha Gopinath temple, these are the deities that you'll see in Vrindavan. The original Radha Gopinath deities are no longer in Vrindavan. They're also in Jaipur. And we'll see the picture of those deities in just a moment. And the prayer that we recite in glorification of Radha Gopinath, Shriman Rasa Rasarambhi Vangshi Vata Tata Stitaha Karshan Vedo Svanair Gopir Gopinatha Shriestunaha. May Lord Gopinath confer upon us His grace. He inaugurated the Rasa Lila by attracting the spiritual milkmaids of Vraja with the enchanting tune of His flute. And He is seated at the base of the Vangshivat tree. So I'm sure you're all anxious to see the deities that were originally worshipped by the residents of Vrindavan. This is, in the background, is the Madan Mohan temple in Vrindavan. And in the foreground is a picture of the deities that were worshipped by Sanatan Goswami. The picture is depicting a very particular day or a leela where during the Rasa Leela at one time, Krishna was resting under a tree when the gopis came and stole his flute and his crown. Then they gave his flute and his crown to Srimati Radharani, who then dressed herself as a king. And then Krishna had to come and act as her doorkeeper to get his crown and flute back. So this is a particular day once a year where Radha is, she's holding her right hand up in her benedicting pose. But if you notice over here, she's got a Rajput sword in her belt. And along with Krishna's staff for controlling the cows. And dressed in a very dapper fashion for sure. And Krishna's hands are posed in the position of holding his flute, but you don't see a flute, do you? But you look there and you see a big sword. And there you see a big shield in Rajput style. They enjoy this day, this big festival, very, very much. Now there's a little story that I'm going to narrate about these deities. Besides how they came to Sanatan Goswami's care for worship, which was extremely personal, these deities were, after being taken to Jaipur by Jai Singh, he made arrangements that they would be worshipped very nicely. And for generations, they were worshipped very, very nicely. And at one point, one of the successor kings following Jai Singh had one daughter, a princess, and there was a marriage proposal, a betrothal, for his princess to marry the king of Karoli. And when the king made the proposal to his daughter for this marriage, the daughter said, "Very well, I'll marry the king of Karoli under one condition. And that is, if Madan Mohan can come with me, because I'm too much attached to Madan Mohan." So the king said to his daughter, "Then the marriage is off. You just stay here and remain unmarried, because I can't bear the separation of Madan Mohan." But it was too late. Romance had already struck. The prince and the princess already had developed a deep attachment for one another. You know how it is, romance. So some time passed, and the prince had a dream. In the dream, Madan Mohan appeared to him. and requested, "My dear prince, can you do some service for me? Can you make an arrangement for me to come to Karoli? I want to be worshipped here in Karoli." The prince was in ecstasy. Besides having a dream in which the deity of Krishna, Madan Mohan, appeared to him, he was doubly surcharged because it meant then the princess and he could marry. So he went... Oh. We'll have to wait for the power to come back on. He went... I have a backup projector in case it is the bulb. But sometimes it just gets too hot and shuts itself off. Okay. So, the prince went for a visit to Jaipur. And he visited the king. And he told the king about his dream. And after he told the king about his dream, the king's reply was, "I don't believe you. You just want to marry my daughter. You make up anything so you can marry my daughter. How do I know that you actually had this dream? How do I know that Madan Mohan wants to go to Karoli? If Madan Mohan gives me a sign that he wants to go to Karoli, we'll arrange for him to go to Karoli. If he doesn't give me a sign, then you'll have to fight me to get Madan Mohan to leave Jaipur." Kshatriya spirit, right? So that evening, the king had a dream. Same dream as the prince. Madan Mohan said to the king, "Can you make an arrangement for me to go to Karoli? I want to go be worshipped in Karoli." So that was the confirmation the king was looking for. And so he declared to the whole citizenry of Jaipur, "Madan Mohan wants to go to Karoli. We'll calculate an auspicious day." And a grand royal procession was arranged with elephants and instruments and brahmanas chanting and flowers decorating the roads, and a grand royal procession from Jaipur to Karoli. So if you want to see the deities that were worshipped by Sanatan Goswami, you're going to have to go to Karoli, because that's where they're being worshipped today. Very, very beautiful deities. The deities of Radha Govinda, they're in Jaipur, and they're very visible. In fact, they're in a very, very prominent place in the courtyard of the palace, because so many thousands of people come for the 7 RTs a day and crowd around. You have to come early if you want a spot in front of the deities. And when the RT comes, it's mayhem. And afterwards, the bhaktas sit before the deity and sing bhajans for hours waiting for the next RT. There's so much devotion for Radha Govinda in Jaipur. And very tall, very merciful, and very beautiful deities. And here are the deities of Radha Gopinath. And also, as you can see, very, very nicely worshipped deities in Jaipur. So these three deities are the same deities that are in Ramuna that Madhavendra Puri saw when he was visiting in Ramuna. And I'm going to give you a little background on Madhavendra Puri's visit to Ramuna. First, here's a little description of Madhavendra Puri, directly taken from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhavendra Puri was initiated in the disciplic line of Madhvacharya. Here's a picture of Madhvacharya for a moment. Madhvacharya is one of the leading preceptors of one of the four sampradayas, the Brahma sampradaya. Madhvacharya is always pictured with these two fingers raised in the air because he taught Dvaita Vad, the doctrine of distinction. The soul and God are different. Matter and God are different. The soul and other souls are different. He had this Pancha Beda doctrine that was like the core of his teaching, the basis upon which he explained everything found within the Vedas. So Prabhupada writes that he was very... The Madhvacharya line is particularly strong in the process of worship, but that process of worship is particularly filled with ritual ceremonies, and attainment of love of Godhead was not so much evidenced. But Madhavendra Puri was the first in that disciplic succession to exhibit the symptoms of love of God, which he manifested in a very specific way, the recitation of a prayer beginning with Ai Dina Dayadranath. So we're going to take a look at that poem. In fact, we can recite it together. Ai Dina Dayadranatha He Maturanath Kadavalokshaye Hridayam Tvad Aloka Kataram Dayata Brahmyati Kim Karomyaham. And the meaning is here. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura. He was a Krishna Bhakta. When shall I see you again? Which means he had already seen him, and now he was hoping to see him again. Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. It's exhibiting symptoms of separation, great anticipation and pangs of separation. Oh, most beloved one, what shall I do now? And his method was that he just absorbed himself in reciting this poem again and again and again. Like we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya would recite a verse again and again. It wasn't at all mechanical. It was deeply, he would just enter more and more deeply into the mood or the spiritual emotion of that particular verse. So through this method, Madhavendra Puri experienced and exhibited symptoms of conjugal love. This was unheard of. Not only love of Godhead as the attainment of the practice of devotion, but specifically even conjugal love. Madhavendra Puri was a sannyasi, the male, but his mood was that of the gopis, the transcendental female associates of Krishna in the spiritual world. So this was not understood prior to Madhavendra Puri, and this specific gift was the seed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grew and distributed very widely in his presentation of Krishna consciousness as the grand disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So here's a nice picture of Madhavendra Puri, and I'm going to take a few minutes to describe his Tridanda because of its significance to the Leela. He was a sannyasi, but he was in a particular stage of sannyas. The tradition at the time, and things were very traditional at this time, if supposing someone had lived as a householder to the maturity of their family members, and they wanted to enter into sannyas order of life, there would be stages. The first stage was the Kutichak stage, where they would leave their home, accept sannyas, take residence outside of the village, and then each day their system for their maintenance was they would go into the village and they would receive alms by the Madhukari method. They would stretch out their cloth and door to door, whatever people would offer as rotis or rice or something, that was their maintenance for the day. The next stage Bahuduk, maybe it's the other way, Bahuduk, Kutichuk. In any case, Kutichuk first, then Bahuduk. They would not go back to the village, but people from the village would go to them, their residents outside the village, and whatever alms they would offer, that would be their maintenance. The next stage was they wouldn't stay by their village. Pari Vrajakacharya. They would travel anywhere, new places, a new tree every night, a new village every night, a new situation, never maintaining a permanent residence anywhere. So that's a third stage. Kutichak, Bahuduk, Paribrajakacharya. And the stage that Madhavendra Purian was the Paramahansa stage. In the Paribrajakacharya stage, they would go from door to door and accept alms. And the Paramahansa stage is they wouldn't do that even. Meaning they're in a completely foreign place where nobody knew them at all. If someone approached them and offered them something, that would be their maintenance. And if nobody offered anything, they would fast. Now, fortunately, India was pious enough and tuned in to the Varnashram system enough that sannyasis, Paramahansa sannyasis, were maintained. In the West, somebody would probably perish or be arrested. So he had this vow, vrata, that he would not eat unless somebody came to offer him something. And his liking, particularly as he was traveling, was to go to places of pilgrimage. So on one occasion, he was visiting the sacred place of pilgrimage of Vrindavan. And of course, when he went to Vrindavan, he wanted to go like we want to Govardhan Hill. You can see in the background, there's Govardhan Hill. And when he went to Govardhan Hill, he wanted to do his Govardhan Parikrama, just like we like to do. Only he didn't go back to the Krishna Balaram Mandir at night, to the guest house, to take nice prasad and darshan of Krishna Balaram. He just stayed under a tree. And one evening he was under a tree by Govindakund. And Govindakund has a very special significance for this pastime also. Govindakund is the place where Surabhi performed abhishek of the body of Krishna. After the lifting of Govardhan Hill, when Indra realized, I've done it again. I've made a big offense. This time I've offended Krishna. So he went to Brihaspati and requested Brihaspati, please give me advice what I should do. So Brihaspati said, Indra, you're my disciple, but this is too much. The only thing I can recommend is that you come before Krishna and personally offer your respects. But if you come before and beg for his forgiveness because you've offended him directly. But if you go alone, who knows? He may be so angry with you. If you go before Krishna with one of his very dear devotees, then Krishna's heart will soften. And amongst Krishna's very dear devotees, he's so kind upon the cows. So if you can encourage one Surabhi cow to come with you, that will be the best arrangement. Indra appreciated the wisdom of Brihaspati. He went and encouraged one Surabhi cow to come with him. She was very happy to go see Krishna in Vrindavan. And when she came before Krishna, she requested Krishna if she could bathe Krishna with her own milk. And where the milk of Surabhi was collected after the abhishek of Krishna that was contained in this Govinda Kund. In fact, the name Govinda was given by Surabhi, the carer of the cows, Govinda. is described in the Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam. Surabhi gave Krishna that name, Govinda. So one evening at the end of his day, Madhavendra Puri was seated by the bank of Govindakund, and he had been fasting for several days because no one had approached him. So one local village boy, a cowherding boy, approached Madhavendra Puri and extended to him a pot of milk. And Madhavendra Puri was very surprised. He said, "My dear boy, what is your name? Where are you from? And how did you know that I was fasting?" And the little boy replied, "My name is Gopal, and I live here. I'm a resident of this village. And on the other side of the kund, one of the ladies saw you sitting here, and she thought you might be fasting. And it's a policy in our village, nobody fasts. So she asked me to bring you this pot of milk. Please, you take. I'll come back later. It's time now, the sun is just setting. It's time now to milk the cows. So I'll be back to receive the pot, the empty milk pot from you. I have to go now." And Madhavendra Puri, just by seeing the very beautiful form of this young boy, was thinking, "How beautiful and what a sweet voice." He was so pleased that all of his hunger and thirst went away. And as he sat drinking the milk, he was thinking, "Who was this boy? Such an amazing person." And as the evening wore on, he just continued chanting and chanting and chanting. And gradually he dozed off into the evening hours. And during his evening rest, Gopal came back, just as he said he would. He came back in a dream. And he said to Madhavendra Puri, "Madhavendra Puri, where have you been? I've been waiting for you for so long. In my deity form, which was installed by the great grandson of Lord Krishna, Vajra, my worship, which was going on for some time, has been interrupted. Out of fear of invading soldiers, the pujari hid me in the bushes and ran for his life. And for years and years and years, my worship has been neglected, and I've been waiting for a qualified Brahmin to come and resume my worship. Finally, you have come. Please, tomorrow morning, as soon as the sun rises, go to such and such place. You will find me there, and I'd like you to personally take up my worship." So, when Madhavendra Puri woke up, he was thinking, how ecstatic. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared not only in my dream, but before me in person to give me this pot of milk. But on the other hand, his emotions were conflicted, thinking, the Lord of my life came before me and I did not even recognize him. Oh, how unfortunate. How fortunate. How unfortunate. His emotions were in conflict. So the next morning, with the assistance of the local Brijvasis, he went to the very place where Gopal had told him that his deity form was resting, deep buried within the brush and the trees. And sure enough, exactly this is the spot. As you continue on Govardhan Parikram from Govindakund, you'll find this off the road, this little brick painted white little kutir. Inside is the exact spot where the deity of Gopal was found by Madhavendra Puri. So, following the instructions of Madhavendra Puri, he brought the deity up onto the hill of Govardhan. He made a temporary altar for Gopal, and There's an elaborate discussion, which I'm not going to go into for lack of time, of the wonderful Abhishek, just like Surabhi did for Krishna. In fact, he took the water of Govinda Kund, had it strained, and 1,000 buckets of that water were poured over the body of Gopal. And very carefully, because he was very expertly trained in the line of Madhavendra Puri, or of Madhvacharya. So he knew all the details of worship of the deity. So after the bathing of the deity, the Abhishek, then very costly scented oils and sandalwood oil were smeared on the body of the deity until the body of the deity was shining. And then very costly ornaments and garments and garlands and crowns were placed upon the body of the deity. Madhavendra Puri himself performed the arti as the kirtan was going on. You can't see it so well in the picture, but there's a lot of people on the other side of the hill. Thousands of people had come to attend, and they performed this anukut, very similar to... Here's some water. Some water. The anukut of... Let's put it here. Okay, thanks. Of offerings that were made to Govardhan Hill, instructed by Krishna to his father, Nanda Maharaj. Same. Repeat. Leela was enacted by Madhavendra Puri and Gopal, where mountains of rice and chapatis and sabjis and milk products and sweet rice and cakes and sweets and so many preparations, juices, beverages, everything brought before the deity of Gopal and offered to Gopal in a big utsav, big festival. And then the prasad was distributed to all the thousands of people. The villagers were so excited. This very ancient and very renowned deity had surfaced again and had disclosed himself to Madhavendra Puri. So nearby villages requested Madhavendra Puri, can we do this anukut tomorrow? And another village said, can we do the day after tomorrow? And can we do the day after that? And it went on for 3 months. Big festival. Very, very famous deity. In course of time, a temple was built for Gopal, and Madhavendra Puri remained by the bank of the Govinda Kund. This is the place where he resided. This is the place where he sat and performed his chanting. And this is the deity of Radha Govinda, where he did his chanting. This is their summer outfit, and this is their winter outfit. In Vrindavan, it gets pretty cold. But you can see Krishna has his nice little cap on, and Radha has a nice warm chador on, and they're very happy. And this is the scene of Govinda Kund. Towards sunset, here's the natural setting of the cows. Whenever you go to Govinda Kund, in the background you can see Govardhan Hill. In the foreground, the cows are always happily sitting in the shade of the trees. Water buffalo sporting in the water of Govinda Kund. And of course, the monkeys. What's Vrindavan without monkeys? In the nearby trees. But be careful what you're carrying in your hand when you see the monkeys and the monkeys see you. This is up on top of Govardhan Hill, where the temple was built. Now, many of us will never see this, but it's a photographer went up on Govardhan Hill, obviously, to take this picture. This is Sankarshan Kund at the foot of the Gopal Mandir. There's a closer picture of the Gopal Mandir, where the Gopal deity was taken. Two generations later, Madhavendra Puri, then Ishwara Puri, then Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya came to visit Vrindavan, and he wanted very much to see the deity of Gopal that had been worshipped by Madhavendra Puri. But as a policy, he would not walk on Govardhan Hill, accepting that Govardhan was none different than Krishna. And so he just embraced a rock, or one of the shilas of Govardhan, at the bottom of Govardhan Hill, and just wept tears of separation. But to reciprocate with the love of Lord Chaitanya, Gopal came down off of Govardhan Hill. There was some scare that, again, some invading soldiers were coming, and so the pujaris put the deity on the palanquin, carried him down Govardhan Hill, and Lord Chaitanya danced and danced in ecstasy. For a week he had the darshan of Gopal to his heart's content, and then the deity returned back on Govardhan Hill. This is a picture of the same deity that later, just as a number of the deities were shifted to Jaipur, this deity of Gopal was shifted to Nathdwar, also in Rajasthan, where his name was changed by the Pushti Margis to Srinathaji. But as you can see, the deity of Gopal is in this position with his left hand raised. This is Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. Only he's worshipped in this particular feature. This is the replacement deity up on top of Govardhan Hill, the Pratibhu deity of Gopal. And in another outfit, his winter outfit, very nicely decorated. Gopal. And so after 3 years passed where Madhavendra Puri was continuing very nicely the worship of Gopal, Gopal came in his dream once again, dream number two. And Madhavendra Puri was instructed by Gopal, "My dear Madhavendra Puri, your service is very nice, but there's one problem. My body is so hot. For so many years I was not being worshipped, and although your worship is going on very nicely, this heat is too much. Can you please do one service? Can you arrange for some sandalwood and camphor? The summer season is coming very soon, and you know how hot it gets in Vrindavan in the summer. Please make this arrangement. Bring some sandalwood and camphor and smear some of this on my body throughout the summer season. This will be very nice." So Madhavendra Puri was again in ecstasy. Who wants anything in the heart of a pure devotee besides some service for the personality of Godhead? So before daybreak, he was gone. He made arrangements in the middle of the night for the pujaris to continue the worship in his absence. And off he went to arrange for the camphor and sandalwood. And he decided that he would get ample quantity of that in Jagannath Puri. And on his way to Jagannath Puri, he visited Ramuna. And when he visited Ramuna, the reason for visiting Ramuna was to see the deity of Gopinath. And when he saw the deity of Gopinath, he heard about the very famous kheer that was offered to the deity of Gopinath. So when Aarti was being set up, he saw the pujari walking across the altar with the kheer. And he thought in his mind, "My deity Gopal, if I could make some kheer like this for Gopal, that would be so nice. Somehow if I could just get a little taste of that kheer, then I would get an idea of how they've made it. And then when I return back to Vrindavan, I can make some of this for my deity Gopal." But as soon as he had that thought, his next thought was, oh no, what an offense. Remember, he has this vrata, what to speak of thinking. He doesn't eat unless somebody brings something to him. Yoga kshema vaham yaham. Krishna indicates in Bhagavad Gita. So he has complete control of his senses, and he was thinking, even before the deity has been offered the kheer, I'm thinking to taste the kheer. What an offender. How terrible. So in that mood, he stayed for the arati, and as soon as the arati was over, he left the temple. And he went outside outside the gate and was thinking, what a terrible offender I am. Because of his natural humility. But Gopinath wasn't feeling that way. He appeared in the dream of his pujari. And in the dream, Gopinath said to the pujari, my dear pujari, you did not notice because I covered you with my yogamaya potency. But when you brought kheer onto the altar, I stole one of the pots of kheer. You didn't notice. But I want you to go to the altar right now. Find that pot of kheer and you'll find it behind my dress. I hid it there. And after you find the kheer, after you find the kheer, I want you to go into the public outside the temple and find Madhavendra Puri and give the pot to Madhavendra Puri. When the Vrajari woke, he was astonished. But Gopinath had given his order. So he took his bath, put on fresh cloth, took his key, because only the pujari in the middle of the night can get onto the altar, and no one else can get on or off, and no one else had, because he had the key. He opened the gate, came before the deity, paid his obeisances, lifted the cloth behind the deity, and sure enough, there was the pot of kheer, just as Gopinath said. He very, very respectfully lifted up the pot of kheer, bowed before Gopinath, went out of the temple, into the courtyard, out the front gate, and started calling out at the top of his lungs, Madhavendra Puri, where are you? Gopinath has stolen some sweet rice for you. Madhavendra Puri, you are the most fortunate person in the universe. Madhavendra Puri. Finally, Madhavendra Puri came forward very shyly. The pujari handed him the pot of sweet rice. Here's the very spot where there previously was a marketplace where Madhavendra Puri was resting. Here's the pots of sweet rice. And when Madhavendra Puri received the sweet rice, the pujari fell at his feet and said, who can understand how dear a devotee you are? How intimate is your relationship with the personality of Godhead Gopinath? I'm his personal servant. He's never stolen sweet rice from me. But you are such a saintly personality. For whatever his reason, he wanted you to have this. And I can understand you are a very confidential servant of the Lord. Madhavendra Puri took the pot of sweet rice. He had been fasting. He was happy to take the sweet rice of Gopinath so he could test the quality of it, so he could make some for Gopal, just as was his desire. When he finished the pot of sweet rice, he broke the pot into little pieces and tied the pieces into his cloth so that as he was traveling, he could eat a little bit of the pot as the prasad of Gopinath in the course of the rest of his travels. So the pujari went back into the temple, and Madhavendra Puri began to consider, while this is very, very wonderful, the just thing that just happened, it's also very terrible. It's terrible because people are going to want to come and honor me. Just as what happened when Gopal came and brought me a pot of milk. Now, how many people in this world do whatever they can do to get some honor? They'll knock themselves out to get some honor. But not Madhavendra Puri. He was thinking, this is terrible, I have to leave immediately. The pujari will tell people and everyone will want to come and praise me and that's awful, I'm leaving. So he left that night. Before the daybreak broke, he left. And he went to Jagannath Puri. Now, at that time, they didn't have telephone system, didn't have a railroad system. They didn't have faxes and emails and cell phones. Somehow, before he even reached Jagannath Puri, word spread. You know how it goes in Vaishnav circles. Bad news spreads fast, but good news also spreads fast. When he reached Jagannath Puri, he was received by the head priest of the Jagannath deity. He met him at the Alalanath Bridge and brought him directly before Lord Jagannath for a private darshan, took personal care of him, treated him like the sadhu that he was, made all arrangements for the sandalwood and camphor, gave him all the clearance papers to pass through the many borders and many different governments that would require clearance to take all these valuables, and even provided men to carry all the way back to Vrindavan. On his way back to Vrindavan, Madhavendra Puri once again stopped in Ramuna to see Gopinath. And when he spent the night in Ramuna, he had dream number 3. Gopal again appeared in his dream and instructed Madhavendra Puri, "My dear Madhavendra Puri, it's so far to go to Vrindavan, and the summer season has already begun, and it's so hot. You should just stay in Ramuna and make an arrangement that all the camphor and all the sandalwood, each day a little bit is placed onto the body of the deity of Gopinath, and in that way my body temperature will go down, because after all, the deity of Gopinath and the body of Gopinath and my body are the same." So that's what he did. Under the order of Gopal, he stayed in Ramuna. And he made that his residence for the whole summer. And when the summer was over, the sandalwood and the camphor were gone, and he went back to Jagannath Puri and took part in Jagannath Rath Yatra and stayed there for the rainy season. And when the rainy season was over, he came back to Ramuna. And he liked Ramuna very much. In fact, his samadhi is in Ramuna. Here is the picture of his samadhi. Of course, he went back to Vrindavan to make some sweet rice for Gopal and do other services on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Here's a daytime picture in color of Madhavendra Puri's samadhi and a little murti in his samadhi. And as you can see in the background, there's a little picture. It looks like a Satsrup Maharaj painting of Madhavendra Puri doing his bhajan and the pujari bringing his pot of sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri. And there's the very comfortable Nike shoes of Madhavendra Puri as he would travel and perform his chanting. This is the samadhi outside. And in the same courtyard as the temple is the samadhi of Rasikananda, a disciple of Srinivasacharya. And on the outside, these little other domes, they're disciples of Rasikananda, who also made this their residence. In other words, Ramuna was considered by them, out of all the holy places they could have made as their residence for bhajan, a very, very sacred, sacred place, because of the intimacy of love that was exchanged between Gopinath and Madhavendra Puri, and then in turn the generations of devotees that came and poured out their love for Gopinath, a very, very affectionate deity. Nice picture of Rasikananda. His complexion was very blackish, like Krishna. Here's his bhajan kutir, the place where he did his little bhajan, and his comfortable shoes. And the final picture is this one. That's the end of the whole presentation. These aren't literally Lord Chaitanya's foot impressions, but Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, at many of the places where Lord Chaitanya performed pastimes or visited, he established, like this, the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya to commemorate the sacred place of pilgrimage that place had become, simply because Lord Chaitanya had come there and sanctified the place with his two lotus feet. So, in conclusion, I've taken way more than is normally the case in your Sunday feast lectures, I hope. At least those that are here are happy, I guess. Those that are not have already gone. In the life of Madhavendra Puri, there's many lessons. Completely at all personal risk to the service that Krishna had given him. We all have some service. It may be in our family, it may be in the temple, it may be in this way, and it may be in that way, but we all have many services to do. What is the consciousness that we carry when we undertake those services for Krishna? If we undertake those services in the right mood, the ongoing reciprocation of love between Krishna and ourselves will follow, as happened with Madhavendra Puri. The example of Madhavendra Puri is ecstatic. And the opportunities in devotional service are equally ecstatic on a very personal, deep level, if we carry the right consciousness into the activities that we receive and offer in loving exchange with Krishna. So we can pray at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Madhavendra Puri, that some of that same mood of genuine devotion that they had can also enter within our hearts. And in this way, we can make advancement following their example on the path of pure devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Madhavendra Puri ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi. Just in time for Arati.
Says, huh?
Hey,
check your eyes.
I didn't recognize you until you smiled, you rascal. Nice to see you.
Yeah, sure. Nice to see you. Hare